from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I am actually doing a radio show with Parkinson Spiegel, and I wasn't particularly good. I mean, not that that's a new thing.
Afternoons on the Score.
Treating Christopher was so difficult. Signed and developed here. He's the most wonderful kid, as everyone knows, and a super talented hitter. We ultimately felt like changing up the offense and finding a third baseman of the future was a really important thing at this deadline. So that was the focus, was on Isak's ability to play third. But it was really difficult to give up Chris, a fan favorite for all the right reasons.
Yeah, tough to trade him, at least for me, because of the raw power and how exciting he is. But they did get a better bat and a better defensive player and a guy who was an all-star this year, and they had to change something. So this is the first big step of changing it. We'll talk to Jed Hoyer in an hour and see how many more big changes he thinks he needs.
Was struck by just a couple of things in Jed's media availability via Zoom last night. And I know you were struck by this as well, that he said this trade took a month to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And he knows how many teams wanted Isak Paredes because a ton of teams reached out to him after the deal. Like, oh, man, you got him. We were trying too. And so the Rays were holding on to a very valuable player. I'd say maybe the second or third best offensive player to move. Jazz Chisholm, probably the best offensive player. And he's now homered twice in two consecutive games for the Yankees.
You know who else has?
Well, Chris Morel has two homers, one in two straight games. Jazz has four in his last two games.
Yeah, okay, well, good for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
But so yeah, Morel.
Multiple home runs with a new team in two games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be Morel.
Yeah, I hear you.
Paredes doesn't have a homer yet.
No, he doesn't. Just played one time last night.
Trade's been a bust.
Good old number 17, playing third base there.
High-profile number. What's the guy got to do to get that number retired?
More than Chris Bryant did.
More than Chris Bryant
did. For longer than he did it.
I guess.
Yeah, it was still a little jarring to see that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good number.
But the trade for Paredes and away from Morel, it obviously belies, like Jed is now saying, an attempt to change the mix in the lineup. And what would have happened if he got this done a month ago? What if he had... And I don't know that Tampa would have done it. Maybe they were just going to hold on and have teams bid against themselves.
Yeah, I don't think that he said he's been working on it for a month. It necessarily means that he could have gotten him a month ago. But do you think that this team is in a markedly different place?
I think it's entirely possible, yeah. Because, and let's say, I'm glad he was trying something a month ago. A month ago, as the season was drifting away,
yeah,
and the Cubs season was falling away, and the frustration was peaking, you know, it was still a vibe of, I just got to try and get these guys to do more, the ones that we have. He should have been trying. He should have been aggressive. And some teams were aggressive out there. Padres went and got Luis Arraez very early on to change up their lineup mix, to give themselves a contact person. I mean, the difference between Paredes and Morel would have been very valuable. And not if you just look at the basic numbers, because Paredes didn't hit well in terms of batting average, nor did Morel. Both very low. 156 for Paredes in the last month, 196 for Morel in the last month. On base percentage, 90 points higher for Paredes at 356. Morel just a 266 OBP in the last month. So the OPS is 123 or 133 points higher. 746 to 613. Okay, that's all the regular numbers, right?
Yeah.
But what it is a guy, Paredes walked 20 times and struck out 13 times over the last month. Christopher Morel walked 6 times and struck out 28 times in the last month. In the last month, Isaac Paredes' contact rate is 12th in all of baseball. Dude makes contact.
All of his home runs are pull homers,
yes.
But he does go the other way with outside pitches. It's not like he just doesn't have power the other way, it seems.
He happily goes the other way. This is a much more...
His first at-bat yesterday was the other way.
It's a much more evolved and complete hitter with bat control and an idea of what he's doing at the plate. And it is a worthwhile swap to change up the mix. So think about if in some of the crucial situations where we've seen Morel... I think of the doubleheader against the Cardinals in St. Louis in an absolutely crucial series when Morel failed in the third inning against sliders just off the plate, and he also failed at the end with a double play on another slider just off the plate because he was trying to do the one-dimensional swing that he has. And it was after that game where Cliff Floyd said, look, Chris Morel's got a one-dimensional swing, and we played it on it and run the next day, and it's been part of what has informed the thought process for me and I think a lot of others to realize that Morel is limited, and we've had conversations. So what if you added in, instead of that one-dimensional swing, a much more complete hitter, a much bigger contact hitter, and you can respond just to that, but think of the domino effect that could have happened throughout the lineup and with playing time with other people, and we can get to that piece of it in a second, because I think changing those two guys a month ago would have had a very significant impact on this dead-ass offense.
I don't believe that he was available a month ago, but to do the exercise with you, I don't think this team is one player away from being that good. And that's a huge part of what I want to talk to Jed about. One thing that stuck with me from a show that you were not in and Grody was in, and Grody's like, what's the core of the Cubs? Who's in the core? How do we answer that question? Justin Steele's in the core. Who else do we know is in the core of this Cubs team that could be one of the 5 best players on a championship team? How many guys do they have like that?
Saya at the plate. You look at Saya's numbers over the last year and his hard hit rate and what he does at the plate. I'd say Saya. He's a left
fielder.
Even
though he can't catch the ball and right?
He should be a left fielder.
Okay, but they have a left fielder with a no-trade clause who also has been one of their best players.
But Saya, I think most teams would jump at Saya Suzuki to be their left fielder.
And that's clear because the Cubs were floating him in trades. You've heard Seiya Suzuki's name rumored. I don't want to consider someone who's being rumored in trades to be part of a core.
Well, I don't want to lose sight of what I'm trying to say.
Don't lose sight.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. No.
Lawrence the band, not Lawrence the host. But no, I know you're not. But I just like because the effect of one hitter on the construction of a lineup. We have seen it when it's the right kind of hitter that you're adding. For years, we heard about the diversification of the lineup and the need for that. Ben Zobrist's existence as the kind of hitter he was made it a lot more tolerable to have a bunch of dudes swinging for the fences. Made it a lot more tolerable. I mean, Dexter Fowler's presence at the top of a lineup can change the construction of the entire thing and change the thought process of the entire thing. You don't need 3 different kinds of hitters sometimes. You need one very different kind of hitter that you're swapping in because then all of a sudden, maybe Patrick Wisdom is getting more starts at DH. And that dude has power. And he had, 16 at-bats in July before he exploded for the Grand Slam and again the home run the next night. And Council just wasn't freaking using him all month long as they're in desperation that guy has power because you couldn't have another home run or nothing guy in the lineup. If you have Paredes, all of a sudden it changes the things that you can do. If you have Paredes, you're not putting Miles Mastroboni out there at third base. There's a big-time domino effect to having added a guy like that.
Okay, so then do you believe that a team of Bush, Horner, Swanson, Paredes, Happ, PCA, Saya, Bellinger, 0 at catcher, but let's say upgrade at catcher somehow, some way this offseason, is that a top 10 offense in baseball?
No, I don't think it's a top 10 offense in baseball.
Well, because they were sixth last year.
Right, but they were the worst offense in baseball for 2 months in a year when the starting pitching was performing at incredible levels and at a time when the bullpen had figured it out.
No, I know, but so I guess my point is that like that I'll concede snowball effect, impact on other guys, and all of those things. But if it's not a top 10 offense with that as your core, Jed's got to make more changes.
Oh, absolutely he does. Absolutely he does. Well, we'll see what happens the last 2 months. And I think he's going to be interested to watch what he and Council can do with this lineup with Paredes in there and how it affects some other things and what that domino effect is. I admit, I'm pissed off they didn't do anything a month ago. And when I see that like this was being talked about, that means he knew he had to change the mix. And I thought it would have been great if they went and got a slugger who could hit home runs and then guys could just concentrate on contact. But this idea of getting a guy who does hit home runs but also makes contact, 12th in baseball in contact, doesn't strike out. Like the effect that might have had, I'm pissed they didn't do something a month ago. And I wonder what might have happened with this offense.
It'd be an interesting question for Jed. My guess is he will say it takes a long time to make these deals, and a lot of teams were trying to get Paredes, mm-hmm. so they were trying to get a bidding war going. You know, they weren't just...
Totally agree.
They weren't just negotiating with the Cubs.
And now we can move to talking about the Cubs' core, because that is a very valid conversation, but I wanted to make sure I got the full domino theory out there this idea.
I think it's a reasonable theory, but like Dansby needs to be a part of the Cubs' core. If he isn't, they're screwed. If he isn't, it's a Jason Hayward situation. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that a guy who is 30
has just fallen off the table like this.
That doesn't make any sense. He was really good for a long time consistently. His numbers were remarkably consistent. He'd give you 25 homers. He'd play 160 games. He'd give you Gold Glove caliber defense at short. That was who he was, with like a large body of work. So part of this is I don't want to believe it, but the explanation has to be the knee injury or like he's just been derailed by injury. Yeah. I don't believe that he stopped being a good baseball player.
What they're going to have to do this offseason is throw a bunch of money on top of the money that they have. I mean, this needs to be an aggressive offensive offseason. Somehow, some way, and there's not many places where you can do it.
That's what I'm driving at here. Like, where is if the answer is $450 million to Juan Soto and figure it out because you have the DH spot, well then cool, that'd be a lot of fun. It's not my money.
Mm-hmm. Say it would be a hell of a DH.
It sure
put Soto out there and right,
that'd be great.
Have Hap play right and put Soto in left if you want.
Yeah, that Soto solves a lot of problems.
Yes, he does.
Soto solves a lot of problems.
Because Soto's like the premier example of the power guy who doesn't strike out. Sahat have had this number. Since 2022, there are only 12 players in all of baseball with at least 1,000 plate appearances who have a WRC plus above 120, a strikeout rate below 20%, and a walk rate above 10%. Paredes is in that group. With some of the best offensive talents in baseball. That's what you got. And this is why so many teams wanted him. It's a very unique skill set. Guys who can homer, but don't strike out much and still walk a lot. And that is an incredibly valuable dude to add to a lineup and have a domino effect.
Texter, hey Shane, what's a good time to call? Both of your hosts have dumbass baseball takes.
Oh, right now, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much. Oh, I can't wait to hear that guy.
Sure.
Shane, his number's there. Call him. Absolutely. Sure.
No,
give him a call.
You guys want a quick break in about the history of the number 17 with the Cubs? Can you believe that
Mark Grace?
When Felix PA came up, he just took 17 from Mike Fontenot, and then Mike Fontenot got it the next year. When Felix PA was called up, they took away 17 from Mike Fontenot,
and then he got it back.
And Mike Fontenot got it back the next year. Felix PA was still on the team.
What kind of year did Fontenot have? Did he have like a go into the GM and demand your number back kind of season?
I don't know.
I don't think he ever had
2007. He had 53 OPS plus the next year, 64 OPS plus.
So no, he did not.
That was Felix PA. Fontenot in 2007, 87 OPS plus, and then up to 131 in 2008 when he got the number back.
Oh, see?
I think people would number enjoy worked. This history of number 17.
That's right, good.
What else you got?
That's it. That's it on that number.
Oh, okay. A little Fontenot.
somewhere. I wonder if
there
it's in
there.
I wonder if it's in there. Probably, maybe not, but I remember Rick Sutcliffe saying, every team needs a guy like Mike Fontenot.
A little Fontenot.
I'm saying that in a broadcast to be a less.
It's the Cubs, Zach Remillard.
Yeah. Well, he and Ryan Terrio.
Guys like Zach Remillard.
They were...
Yeah. Different texter says, guys just fall off. Baez, Tim Anderson, Chris Bryant. Guys just fall off. I mean, if that's what happened to Dansby Swanson, they're in big trouble.
Chris Bryant just doesn't want to play anymore. That's what that is. I don't think Dansby doesn't want to play anymore.
I don't. I assume not.
He was really. Call him. Tanny, call him.
He was really good last year. Like, so people are like, oh, he got the contract and now he's not. He got the contract and he was good last year.
Yeah, he was. And some of his batted ball data is still decent. It's weird. It's been a very weird year.
Speaks, this is not Dansby. The show for batted ball data.
No,
I'm sorry.
I know. I felt silly doing it.
Our listener cannot comprehend batted ball data.
That's
they turn
not
it off
true.
At 2 o'clock.
Well, that one guy does, the one who thinks we have dumbass takes. Oh, wait a minute. Now I did star 69 on the number. It's Tanny. It's Chris Tannehill texting
the show.
That's
a good take.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's that.
You don't think a month ago with this trade changes the fortune of this thing?
I think this team has some too many people just straight up underperforming. Like, is Dansby Swanson better with Paredes here? You're saying snowball effect, maybe it would change the approach, but you're asking that for a lot of guys. You're for a lot of guys would need to be much better.
I'm saying that the pressure comes off a little bit and you feel the boost of the ad, and it can be a contact guy or it can be a power guy. And to add a guy who's both, I think might have done some things.
Speaks, you mentioned Dexter Fowler earlier and that era of Cubs team. Do you remember how hard Joe Maddon tried to find someone? They replaced him with John Jay, and how much Joe loved John Jay.
Yes.
And then after he left, it was like, oh, now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, we don't have anyone like that.
So, yeah. Daniel Descalso. They went looking. How about Daniel Murphy? Daniel Murphy in 17 was like, we need this contact hitter. We need to diversify the lineup. Like, this regime has always ended up looking for certain guys like that. Usually it means they have enough slug. They don't have that either. To your point, is having multiple problems. I know.
Should Saya and Hap switch?
I think it's – Hap is great there. Saya has a stronger arm, but it's very erratic. They acknowledge that Saya's not a great right fielder in spring training. When I was out there that weekend, when Alexander Canario was in the game, he played right and Saya played left. I remember seeing that going like, wow, that's interesting. That's setting the table for that kind of thing. You know, I don't know if Hap would want to, but I think maybe, yeah. And I'm telling you, if it's Soto, I'd rather see Soto in right than I would Saya at this point.
Do you have an
Soto would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, Soto would solve a lot of problems. Yeah. One of the five best hitters in baseball. Do we have a solve for the Cubs offense that isn't them 2X-ing or 3X-ing the largest contract in franchise history?
Yeah, you just got to be better. Hit the cages more.
Okay.
Yeah, stop hitting it where they are.
What about more running?
They should mandate running.
That's a good idea.
The White Sox, by the way, I know the game is going on, so we won't do a ton, but they apparently have not mandated catching fly balls yet.
Yeah, we saw that happen during transition. It was a hilarious.
Oh, is there more?
You saw it in transition. Oh, there's been two more times then.
Oh, wow.
Since transition.
No way.
The new guy, Miguel Vargas and Andrew Vaughn.
Since the Fletcher
same
one?
Inning. Same inning.
Since the Dominic Fletcher one.
Oh, wow. Okay, my apologies then. Good correction by you.
Cool thing about Miguel Vargas, he's Cuban, and he loves the White Sox-Cuban connection. He has long known about the White Sox-Cuban connection.
Great.
So, he's got warm feelings. Shane, I'm trying to celebrate a baseball player who's been a Dodger, who's like, oh, White Sox? Cool.
I wish the White Sox would mandate me taking a bath with a plugged-in toaster.
Got dark. Which call do you want us to go to first? Are either one of these guys the people who say we suck?
Probably not. Just go to the one who's been holding the longest. That would be Greg in Romeoville.
Hi, Greg. You're on the score.
How's it going, guys? I'll fix your Dansby Swanson issue. That guy needs to get into a weight room, eat a lot of ham sandwiches, and put on about 15 pounds of muscle. How many times has he flied out to the warning track this year? At least 7 that I remember, just off the top of my head.
So the ham sandwich, you think, is the key? Or it's one of the, what's your plan again for more power? Please give us those three components.
Make Dansby Swanson fat and turn him into an actual power hitter. I want him to hit home runs.
All right, the category is fat shorts.
Yeah, how's that going to impact his defense?
Greg, you have 7 Dansby Swanson warning track fly balls at the top of your head?
Yeah, I watch a lot of baseball.
He's probably not wrong.
I've only got 6, so yeah, that's good. I got to go back and watch the tape.
Math checks out. That guy didn't think we sucked enough. I want the guy who thinks we suck.
Let's see if that's John in Logan Square. John, do you think we suck?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, good. Thank you, John. Tell us why.
Because you guys keep referring to windows and cores, and that's just not how front offices construct teams anymore. Look at what the White Sox did. They had a core and a window. The Cubs, core and a window. They both had to dump those teams because they put all their eggs in one basket. There's not enough succession planning. There's not enough continuity. There's not enough guys coming up as other guys are leaving, right? So teams don't do that anymore. And it's not ham sandwiches. That's not going to fix it.
We agree on that.
That was Greg's call.
I think the Braves are an example of a team that absolutely believes in a core and locks up all their guys, and they contend every year. So I think
true. They're constantly swapping out guys.
I think having a good farm system in depth and a succession plan is all part of it. The question was more about the exercise of, like, if we were going to say the Braves, who are their 5 best players? We can name them. The Yankees, who are their 5 best players? We can name them. The Phillies, who are their 5 best players? We can name them.
Right,
Cubs,
right.
Who are their 5 best players?
Not very good.
But that's the, if Jed thinks that they're ready to contend next year, that's going to be the pushback that I would give. Of like, I honestly don't know, do they have 5 guys that are middle of the order, front of the rotation, like championship caliber players at their position?
They do want their payroll to be malleable every year, and they talked about that, to your point, John. And
thanks for the call, John.
And they talked about wanting to have kids who could come up and play. We just haven't seen them. We just haven't seen them. The only one we've seen is PCA, and he was told not to worry about his offense at all.
But the offense has been better.
It definitely has been better, and I like seeing him out there for a variety of reasons. But they've talked about some of the things John discussed. They just haven't shown it to us.
Jed Hoyer coming up at 4:00. We'll see what he wants to see for the rest of this year. I genuinely don't know what he's going to say to that in terms of judging offensive success and what that exactly means. I think I know. I think he wants to just ride it out with the guys who are currently up here. I don't expect this to be much of a prospect display, but there's a real argument to see Owen Casey, to see Matt Shaw, to see some of these other guys.
I think so, as long as they're going to play. And he might... So we'll see. If Dansby gets shut down, which I think is going to be possible here, then Nico moves over and second base is available for a guy like Matt Shaw. You know?
Yeah, so we'll talk to Jed about all of that coming up. But you want to get into this Dan Wiederer deep dive here?
Let's do a deep dive into the deep dive.
Okay, it's next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Parkinson Spiegel. Yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket.
Afternoons on The Score.
He's really made some big strides here. I mean, we're talking about a massive amount of reps in the first 8 or 9 practices that we've had, because we have it set up for the walkthroughs prior to practice, as you saw today, and then also in the evening. We get a massive amount. Good on good on the show team and different looks and going through the operation of the offense. And him is, really just keep investing in the team you know, in his way. And that how his way is to know the scheme, right? Know his fundamentals, know it cold, and just keep operating that way. And to me, he's really starting to pick up his leadership too, you know, because now he feels comfortable in the offense. You can see him really starting to help coach other guys, encourage other guys, bring guys together, which he's done in the past. And that's a good sign too.
Matt Eberflus talking about the development of Caleb Williams and all the reps that he's getting at this point. He, of course, will not be playing in the Hall of Fame game. We've got a report from Bears practice coming up in 90 minutes. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Bears, Jed Hoyer, in 30 minutes.
How many times a year do you think our guy Dan Wiederer does one of his deep dives?
Yeah, I don't know.
Six?
Six, somewhere, yeah, probably
eight,
probably about that, because he's the Enterprise reporter, so he does the big feature piece in addition to being the beat writer.
Is that a business? Is that an industry term? The Enterprise reporter?
No, I've normally heard it more as like the feature reporter.
Yeah,
but I think it's there what the Tribune calls it.
The Enterprise.
Yeah, the
reporter.
Enterprise reporter.
I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so he does
lovely.
Sits into a story, talks to a bunch of people, takes some time, gives it the Sunday feature, that sort of thing.
This is a very good piece, and it was a lot. There was a lot going back to the drafting and the scouting. There was some going back to USC. There was a lot on the Bears coaching staff. He starts it with Caleb taking charge of the table at the Bird Street Club. And I feel like that's our place as a show.
Yeah, we love that place.
Don't we? Like,
yeah.
I feel a real fondness for the Bird Street Club. That because the day that news broke, we did a lot of research on it and had a lot of fun with it.
Yes.
And Caleb acting like he'd been there before at the table because he had been there before. I feel like we would be comfortable there too, you know? We'd act like we'd been there before.
Exclusive invite only. They won't even put the menu online.
Yeah.
Hollywood celebrity establishment.
They'd be like, oh,
my kind of place.
Look at those two guys. We got, who's the chubby one? Oh, he sings. Oh, that's cool. Who's the guy with the zigzag back?
Exactly.
Who's that guy?
Looks like he just smoked a J and came off the golf course. Let's let him in.
That's because he did.
Yeah.
But, and then we'd be comfortable sitting there. And they said, Caleb ordered a sushi roll he loved, and Ian Cunningham was asked about the sushi roll in his exclusive report from Dan Wiederer. He said, it was just okay.
Yeah. I mean, come on, he said.
What do you think it was? What was on the sushi roll?
I think that Ian Cunningham was being a little smug about a 21-year-old's taste in sushi.
Yeah, because like, Ian knows more.
He's
knows
like,
better.
I've had better sushi.
It was one of those sushi rolls that just had way too much going on.
Cream cheese, right. A bunch of different things.
Right, there's like mango.
Yeah.
And there's like two different sauces.
It's like, wait, it's crunchy, there's cucumber in here.
What are we doing
Why
here?
Why is there a scallion
it's
in my sushi?
Completely unfocused. You don't have to put everything on there.
Right.
But just some of the stuff that's in there. I like the way that Ryan Poles talks about breaking the cycle of bad Bears quarterbacking. I like that verbiage because we can all relate, right? Like whatever issues that your parents brought to their adult lives that you have inherited, and now as an adult, you try not to pass that on to your children. You're trying to break the cycle. Ryan Poles, as a GM, is trying to break previous Bears GM cycles with Bears quarterbacks and thereby have the fans less affected. I can totally relate to that. I enjoy that.
Yeah, I can't too. I mean, Poles has been very honest about that publicly. He's like, I'm done talking about it. I'm just not interested in, you know, going down. We're doing a new thing here, that whole sort of thing. So He's been honest about it. And they tried to do it with Mitch. Like, that was a big part of it, was we're going to hire Matt Nagy and we're going to change the way we do things.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we've seen them try to do this before. It's just, you know, failed.
Right. So now as an adult, you try to break the cycle and not pass on some of those family things to your children or to your young quarterback. Let's poll the room. What cycles are you guys trying to break? I can go first if you want.
Okay. Yeah. You want to do some therapy on the air?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay, sure.
And no, because we know what cycles they're trying to break. They're trying to break a Bears quarterback cycle of excitement and eventually disappointment, and then having to move on and get another one.
Yeah,
right away.
Yeah,
I'm trying to break a cycle of overeating. and transient eating, like just, you know, oh, I'm at a gas station. I'll get a candy bar. Are you hungry? I have no idea. You know, I don't know. Just like that thing.
Sure.
Or walking through the kitchen. Like, I don't want Ruben to inherit that and pick that up.
Yeah.
You got one you'd like to offer?
Sure. I mean, you know, when you and your wife have a disagreement, you got to fight fair. Got to fight about the issue at hand.
Ah, yes.
You got to not, it can't be a compiling fight. It can't be about.
Dirty fighter, huh?
Can't be about. We don't fight the same. We don't fight the same.
What do you call her, stupid or something?
No.
You're
no.
such a woman.
No. Just exactly. Like your mom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Let's fight like my parents fought.
Exactly. Our parents fought differently,
yes.
And so we're bringing different ways of approaching it to the table.
I got it. It's interesting.
Yeah. All I don't want to get too much more in-depth on it than that, but go ahead.
I understand. You guys, you really had a good time laughing at Danny. You didn't laugh at me, but you can, about the overeating that I'm trying to break.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
I would never laugh at you for something like that.
What cycle are you going to try to break with your children eventually, Shane?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You can think on that for a minute.
All right. Tanny, got one?
The allegiance to the White Sox.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good answer.
Yeah, that or mood eating. I'm with you there, Speaks. Like,
right?
Yeah, eating for mood, whether it be good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like Mac used to always talk about with other things, but you're punctuating. And that's always stuck with me. Like,
oh, totally.
Yeah, so,
smoking is a big punctuation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
Tanny,
you lost that already. Juliana has been smoking for what, 2 years now?
No, I didn't say I was trying to stop her from smoking.
Okay.
It's the White Sox. Yeah.
Trying
kill
to get
you.
Mac to stop smoking.
You misunderstood.
Yeah, it's the White Sox that'll get you.
I actually have a very, in every relationship I've been in, I've had the criticism of just, you don't have to clean the kitchen tonight. Like, you don't have to do every dish before you go to bed.
Oh.
Listen here. Yes, I do.
Oh, right.
I absolutely have to empty the sink before I can relax,
dude,
and watch TV or something
Christine,
like that. I would love to break that cycle.
Christine came home yesterday, and I called her after the show, as I always do, and she's like, we have rules in this house. There are dishes in the sink. You remember these rules, Matthew? And I was like, yes, I remember the rules. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, she should break that cycle.
Yeah.
I'm needing to call you and say that.
Yeah,
I called her.
When you get home.
I called and I asked for it. I absolutely asked for it. All right, so they're trying to break the cycle of Bears quarterbacking. And then I thought, from this deep dive piece, how everything, like in terms of communication with Caleb, is going through just Shane Waldron and Corey Joseph, the quarterback coach.
Kerry Joseph. Right, it's Kerry Joseph?
I thought it was Corey Joseph.
I think it's Kerry Joseph.
It probably is Kerry Joseph.
Yeah.
I think you're probably
right.
It's
Kerry Joseph.
All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's Kerry.
Sadly, they've been going through a guy named Corey Joseph.
It's Kerry Joseph.
Okay, good.
No, I wrote that down too, that polls said it's not that no one else can talk to him, but that we are trying to not overwhelm him with too many different voices and have the lines of communication be synergized. I thought that made sense. And
intentionally limiting the voices.
Yeah,
yes.
And it means that Kerry Joseph matters.
Yes. Yes, that he's the one who gets the frequent text questions as Caleb studies on his own. Like, he's been instructed. You got questions about anything, that's your guy. You hit that guy, not necessarily Shane Waldron. And there are other guys there. There's like this guy, Ryan Griffin, the longtime backup quarterback, who's there as an assistant. He's kind of playing the veteran quarterback role in a quarterback room without one on the roster.
Yeah.
And this guy, Andy Reese, the mental performance and leadership coordinator. These are people who are there, but they're limiting the voices who actually talk to Caleb. They're part of the structure. I thought that was smart to do.
I thought it read smart, and it's certainly well-intentioned and comes from a logical place, and I thought that that was a new detail. Like,
yes.
We knew that Kerry Joseph mattered because he's the quarterback coach, but the fact that they are actually saying that these other guys, hey, not don't talk to him, but if you talk to him...
Mm-hmm.
Be damn sure you know what you're saying, because we really want it to come from these guys. I thought that was a good anecdote from the piece.
And then my one other thing that I thought was interesting was what Caleb wanted, what he said he has gotten and appreciated from the coaching staff. And I think it's interesting, because I wonder if it's unique to him. He said that what he appreciated the most so far was grace and encouragement. Grace and encouragement. So as he's learning and maybe failing or not understanding something right away, he's a guy who needs grace and encouragement, right? All different kind of people need different kind of things. He's such a perfectionist And Weider wrote about that and talked about that. He drives himself so hard, does yeah. Caleb, as a perfectionist. So he needs grace and encouragement from coaching staffs. And it's an interesting thing to have a guy who needs that as opposed to some of the hard coaching. Good piece by Weider and offered some stuff, I thought.
Mark Grody with the Bears Report coming up at 5 o'clock. Jed Hoyer in 20 minutes. If you got a question for the president of the Cubs, you can text those in, 312-644-6767. Texter's asking, will Shane and Tanny be at the wall in Gurnee?
It's a good question.
I know that Shane will.
Oh, it's a great question, listeners.
Tanny, you know, correct? You'll be here getting us on the air?
I mean, as far as I know, yeah, but if that's what the listeners want.
Yeah. Oh, wait, here's...
I'm sure we can work that out.
Here's 40 more texts asking about Tanny.
Look at
Tanny.
All of them flying in. Wow. They're lined up like Christmas trees.
Uh-huh. Everyone wants Tanny at the wall in Gurnee.
You need me at that wall.
We do need you at that wall.
Yeah, can you believe they built it?
It's surprising. Who paid for it?
It's been up for like 100 years.
They should have finished it, I thought.
As long as you're starting. That's right. And it's weird to see Roger Waters standing there on the top of it, singing comfortably numb at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, I'll for sure be there, so I'm sorry. We will try to get Tanny there.
I think we will.
Come see us on Tuesday at the wall.
Is Peter Hansen ready to just run a board for us? Does he think he's ready?
I don't know.
Did he do a good enough job when the other shows didn't let him do anything? Did he get enough training?
He surely learned the most on our show. Like, he went to Chipotle like a champ for me last week. It was remarkable how well he did.
And that was the only non-radio thing we asked him to do.
Yeah, you're keeping old school radio alive.
That's right. Next, I want him to wash my car.
Kind of insane that you made him pay for it.
That
you
was,
buy so
that
many
weird.
Dinners of ours.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know. Seemed right.
Yeah.
I think we should give out Ryan Porth's voicemail number on the air so they can call Ryan.
I'll give out his cell right now.
That's old school radio.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You want Tanny out there? Call
the
this
bosses
number.
No.
Yeah.
Flood management. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. You will love this messenger. I'm Caleb Williams.
I will.
Yeah, you're going to love it next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Afternoons on The Score.
I know he takes everything in one ear and it just stays there.
Jed Hoyer coming up at 4 o'clock, talking a little Bears for now. We got Bears at 5 o'clock with Mark Grody as well. But you love...
Old guys.
We'll call it what it is. You like old guys.
I knew that's where you're going.
Yeah.
You're like, you're going to love this messenger, you know?
Well, it's going to be Kevin Byard is, you know, he's old in football years, but he's not old enough for you.
No, we got a real old guy, though.
Mercedes Lewis.
That's my dude.
That's an actual old. It's remarkable.
Guy's had a second prime and now a third prime as a blocker. All he wants to do is block. Just wants to show up. He likes to work and practice and block.
Guy's 40 years old in the NFL. Remarkable. Jacksonville and Green Bay. And now the Chicago Bears.
UCLA, Mercedes Lewis?
Mercedes Lewis, yeah. Almost positive.
I think so.
Yeah, UCLA.
Feels right.
UCLA.
They're in Los Angeles, by the way. Just ask Deshaun Foster.
Yes. He was asked on a podcast about Caleb Williams. And listen to this name that he invokes.
I mean, this guy wants to be great. You can tell what he, you know, if he doesn't do something 100% correct, he's correcting himself. Like he's can make every throw a little Aaron Rodgers-esque. Mm-hmm. He's just, man, and I'm looking forward to him going out there and competing and showing everybody what he's been working on because even within his first week, I mean, he's doing things that are you don't see from a young guy. And the sky's the limit for him. I mean, asks all the right questions. He's a leader, mm-hmm. like naturally. He doesn't walk around acting like he know it all. Like he's just, I'm impressed so far.
Man, that's cool. He knows Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Played 5 years in Green Bay. With Aaron Rodgers, with some success, and that's Caleb's guy, so that's very cool to hear. 12 years in Jacksonville, a 12-year football career, and then he's like, you know what? Let's do 5 more years after that. Let's just keep going, shall we?
It's crazy, man.
Now going into year 2 as a Bear.
And again, these are just words, but They're endorsements of his teammates from guys who have seen a lot, and that's a dude who played with Aaron Rodgers, noticing similarities with Caleb Williams, who models his game after the
guy. Do you think
who do you model your game after?
Aaron Rodgers, I would say, is number one.
That's awesome. There it is.
Watch porn.
Yeah, well, no, on the football field. It's important to note on the football.
Well, no, you shouldn't watch it on the football field. Wait till you get home, dude. Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be a Cowboys story about that. Like, I know the Cowboys have stories about all kinds of stuff. Hollywood Henderson famously had an inhaler with cocaine mixed with water inside his uniform as he played an NFL football game.
The original 5-hour energy.
Yes.
Whatever he needed. Exactly.
So you're saying instead of a tablet on the sideline, yeah, they're just watching Pornhub?
Right, dude. There's got to be...
They're not sponsored, dude. Don't have to give out free names.
My bad. Could have been RedTube. No one knows.
Stop naming so many.
Sorry.
Danny Parkins, if you don't stop naming porn sites,
the women are going
to
figure us out.
That's good to have fun with names.
It is. No, there's got to be. In the Jeff Perlman book, isn't there something about those guys watching porn on the sidelines?
Wani. I'm sure Wani could answer that. What, Spigs?
Uh-oh.
Well, one time I went down there.
That takes
Jim
us.
Jeffcoat was down there. Yeah.
Spigs.
Charles Haley.
Coach.
Couldn't control him.
What are you talking about, Coach? Can't even get that stuff. We didn't have Wi-Fi.
Tony Wise kept disappearing.
Someone had a whole locker full of videotapes down there.
Videotapes. They were always doing something. They were never available.
Got VHS. Not a good quality, Coach. It was dubbed, and it was dubbed again. That brings us to an unfortunate member of the crew, actually, as I think about that. So we should probably just stop talking about it.
Well, you know what a perfect way to lead into Jed Hoyer is?
What's that?
30 seconds with Shot on the South Side.
Shot!
Yeah, go ahead, Shot. 30 seconds.
Thank God you're here.
Hey, look, I just want to let you know I'm here because I gave up Alan Williams' habit in the afternoon. Also, secondarily, since Caleb Williams has given a disclaimer to the city of Chicago, I haven't thrown or smoked any papers while watching film in this offseason, guys. I just want to let you know I'm making small steps here, sort of like taking snaps under center. Hey, Danny, love you. Teddy, you are a legend. Shane, my man, 100 grand.
He's got nothing for me.
Oh, I got nothing for Speed.
Yikes.
And he hung up, too. Let the record show Danny hung him up. He cut him off right there.
Right before he said something about Speaks.
No, no. Sean usually acknowledges that I exist. It's all right.
Wow. Not today. What'd you
not
do?
Not today. I'm not Danny today.
Damn.
Look, this whole...
He just gave me 100 grand.
I didn't get either Speaks. It was just these guys.
Oh, no, Tanny.
No, he said Tanny, you're a legend.
Tanny, you're a legend.
100 grand.
I said Danny.
No.
No, he wouldn't say that.
He said
Tanny, I love you. Tanny, you're a legend.
Thank you.
Shane,
my man, 100 grand.
Right. Speaks, you're dumb and you smell bad.
You talked about advanced baseball metrics.
Yeah, that was the problem.
You gave us batted ball data. You know, take that to Sunday.
Shot's a White Sox fan. He doesn't see batted balls.
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
He doesn't know what that is.
No, and the White Sox also don't see data, quite famously, in that front office as well. See, the whole show is about getting Tanny at the wall, you know?
We need him at the wall.
We need him at the wall.
On Tuesday, we need you at the wall.
We want him on that wall.
It's going to be a great time. But coming up next, the president of the Cubs. He did a lot at the deadline, but was it enough? And what does he want for the rest of the year? Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.